Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Rink Wrap, the Bruins podcast with your host, Mick Colaggio. Mick has been covering the Bruins since the Boston Garden days and has the guests and the insights on the hockey world from the local to the NHL. So drop what you're doing, drop the puck, and listen in on Rink Wrap with Mick Colaggio.
Welcome to a brand spanking new season of Rink Wrap. I'm Mick Colaggio, your host, coming to you from the Standard Times in New Bedford, Massachusetts, where we discuss primarily the Boston Bruins and the National Hockey League, but also all issues in the game of hockey today and maybe even yesteryear. So here's what I was doing. Boston Bruins opening training camp this week. We already have a batch of players that went off to China for two exhibition games against the Calgary Flames. And the others are staying back. And games begin on home ice beginning Sunday. So here's what I was looking at. The trade of Adam McQuaid to the New York Rangers, and it's the end of the era for McQuaid as a Bruin, and now he'll probably play for four hockey teams within a two-year frame because you finished last season with the Bruins, you play this year with the Rangers, you probably get rented at the deadline to a contender, and then you're a free agent in the summer and you sign with another team, so you'd be in a different camp a year from now. So all of that's happening. So we're going to talk about McQuaid and the ramifications for the Bruins roster. Plus, I got a couple of interviews that I will introduce a little bit in a little bit here from rookie camp with Ryan Donato and Jakub Zboril. They were actually scrums. They weren't one-on-ones, but I got questions in. So I'm going to play the scrums for you, and hopefully the audio will be easily hearable. Hearable? That's a lousy word. Let's try listenable. Any case, you are listening to Rink Wrap, the first of the season, the 2018-19 season, and you can usually find us embedded in Bruins articles at southcoasttoday.com. You can also find us linked to Twitter. You can find us at omni.fm, that's O-M-N-Y, and on Google Play and iTunes. So here's the, just as an aside, I was doing a little bit of math here. The deletion of McQuaid makes the Bruins defense dominated all the more by former college players. So the question and the concern has been coming up from some fans who are afraid that the old cowboy Canadian culture may be too subtracted from the Bruins to contend for the Stanley Cup. Their roster may be too college oriented. You know, you might have been able to make that argument in the 80s. I don't think he can make it now for a couple of reasons. One, the Pittsburgh Penguins. I didn't go through both championship teams, but the 2017, their second, their repeat team, they had 16 former NCAA players play for them in the playoffs. Of the 16 players, they combined to put in 40 college seasons and a total of 1,660 college hockey games. That's pretty amazing. Now, I grant that some of the guys are a little older, so they had plenty of years to get their NHL grit on, like Nick Bonino, who played three seasons at BC and 116 games. Another obvious one is Ron Hainsey, although he was only two seasons and 63 games. 40-year-old Matt Cullen, two seasons and 75 games. Chris Kunitz, another gray beard, four seasons, 152 games. But a lot of guys did play. Gensel, Rust, Ian Cole's another one. But Sheary, even Wilson had a college season, 31 games. Dumoulin played 3 years at BC. Rowney, Ruedel, who got in some playoff games, not a lot. Carl Hagelin, 4 years, 171 games, college hockey. Archibald, who got in a couple of games, he played 3 years of college hockey. So Pittsburgh Penguins, gigantic. Now, if you want to talk about the Washington Capitals, let's look at them real quick. You're only talking about five guys, 13 combined seasons, and 499 combined college games, led by T.J. Oshie, 3 years, 129 college games. Brooks Orpik, who is obviously been in the NHL for 100 years, 3 years, 119 games. Alex Chiasson played 3 years, 108 games. Matt Niskanen, 2 years, 77 games. Jay Beagle, 2 years, 66 games. So Washington doesn't have that much of a college culture. One thing that Penguins and the Caps have in common is that they're elitist of their elite. Were not college players, whether it was on defense with John Carlson or up front with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov. In the case of the Penguins, Crosby, Malkin, Letang. So you got these are the guys who didn't play. Kessel did, 1 year, 39 games. Now, let's talk about the Bruins real quick. 11 players that I would consider on their 23-man going into the season. None are bubble guys. They're all going to be part of it. Combined for 34 NCAA seasons and 1,312 college hockey games. The 11 guys are Nola Chari, four seasons, 113. David Backes, 3 years, 115. Anders Bjork, 3 years, 115. Ryan Donato, 3 years, 97 games. Matt Grizzlick, 4 years, 125 games. Danton Heinen, 2 years, 81 games. Torrey Krug, 3 years, 114 games. Sean Corrali, 4 years, 154 games. Charlie McAvoy, 2 years, 75 games. Kevin Miller, 4 years, 144 games. I believe that's the club. No, Corrali has the club record. And finally, newcomer Chris Wagner, my Walpole homie, at 2 years and 79 college hockey games. So the Bruins, while they only have 11 to Pittsburgh's 16 and 34 seasons to Pittsburgh's 40, their guys are in college longer. They 1,312 games for the Bruins, 1,660 for the Penguins. And the Capitals, of course, as I noted a few minutes ago, five guys, 13 college hockey seasons, 499 college hockey games. And speaking of college, I was at rookie camp last week and got to have a few Q&As with Ryan Donato right before the rookie team headed off to Buffalo for the mini tournament. Here's our little scrum with Ryan Donato.
But your stride reminds me of his. It's like you're kind of like, some guys are very upright skaters. Some guys are kind of like torso parallel to the ice kind of skaters. You're kind of more like your father, kind of like you're that way, head up, but kind of like, so is everybody in the family kind of just sort of, is that just a body thing?
No, I don't know. I mean, obviously as a young kid, you look at your favorite hockey players, and when I was really young, my dad was my favorite, and you try to mimic a lot of the same things that they do, and I don't know if it's something that he taught me when I was young or if it's just natural, but I do see some similarities. I think he'd beg to differ in the fact that he'd say he's a lot faster than I was, but At the end of the day, I like the fact that we're being compared in that sense.
Does the skating coach work with you much on things?
Kim Brandrill is unbelievable. I worked with him all summer, 4 or 5 days a week. And I mean, the impact he had, I feel like, is going to be huge for me, and hopefully it continues to grow that way.
What's the focal point of that stuff? Is it little tips here and there? Things
just that... edge work. I mean, every player can benefit it, benefit with it. I think personally that was something that I really wanted to focus on this summer. And if I got to be able to be good at that, those type of things, that it would increase my game level and level to play. So I think Kim did a great job, and working with him was awesome.
It would seem like after springtime, you would have all of those first just checked off, but you haven't done this rookie tournament.
I haven't done this rookie tournament. Yeah, I mean, as a kid at Harvard, I was always a little bit jealous, and tried to watch as many highlights as I could. And I knew that if I ever wanted to get in this situation, that I wanted to do well there. So I'm excited at the opportunity, and hopefully I'll do well.
Do you think, I mean, you know, you have enough, you have NHL games, you have a playoff games. I mean, is it hard to see it as like, okay, these are sort of my peers?
No, I think, I mean, at the end of the day, these are all guys that are around my age, and guys that want the job too. So I think everybody has to earn their way, and it's a part of everybody's path. And I think that if I'm able to do all there, hopefully it shows that I can prove myself here and then prove myself at the next level again.
I know you multiple paths to play over. You have to come back and unpack. That's your first training camp.
Yeah, that should be fun. I'm looking forward to that. A little bit more unique training camp, but I'm focused and I'm ready to go. Hopefully it's more of a blessing in disguise being able to go to Buffalo, and I can kind of get ready for training camp and be in the best shape I can be.
What did you think of the first day today?
Oh, it was great. High pace. Guys are working hard. It's tough at the beginning. Everybody's kind of coming with their summer hockey. I don't know how to phrase it, summer hockey. There's bad things about summer hockey, and sometimes they carry into the season. So I think that some guys come in with that, but it kind of, you could see them working out towards the end of practice, and hopefully they'll be that way in Buffalo.
Is your third rookie camp?
Or first.
First?
Yeah, first rookie camp. I've done like 3 or 4 development camps.
Development camp.
This is my first rookie camp at other college.
You shoot the puck very heavy. It just seems like you want to break the net when you shoot it, based on how the puck sounds when it hits what it's going to hit. Nothing trickles with you. You really seem to want to have that. How have you developed that kind of a shot that just is?
I think it's something
quick, but it's hard.
I think it's something that you just work on during the summer, and as many skates as you can. You just want to shoot as many pucks. And as a kid, that was one of the biggest things that my dad sent me to work on, was just shooting. And hopefully I'll continue to work on my shot, but that's one of the things that I think is one of my assets, is my shot. So it's something that I worked on and been working on a long time. So hopefully I continue to have that heavy shot, and hopefully it goes faster, and hopefully it works for me.
He played center, played wing. You seem to be a guy who's been able to be moved around as well. Have you and your mind oriented when you start out, think I'm playing hockey in a vacuum? What are you?
No, I mean, I've had another blessing in disguise of playing all three positions. I mean, at college, high school, I was coming in as a center, and I started as a wing, and then I moved my way towards center and played some off wing here. And I think if I'm able to play all three positions as a forward, it gives me a better chance to be in the lineup and in the spot that I want to be in. And those are things that I work on, and those are things I continue to hopefully grow in my game.
Is there one more fun than the other?
No, I think each position I feel comfortable at. It's hard to say fun. There's some comfortability, but I think at the end of the day, it's just a period of developing into that position. And once I get those type of things that I want to work on, hopefully I'll become more comfortable in every single position.
Ryan, are you still taking classes at Harvard? And if so, can you talk about your strategy balancing those two lives going forward this season?
I'm not taking classes this season, during the season. I took 2 this summer, but I will not be taking classes this season. So focus on hockey 100%. So I'm looking forward to that.
It was mostly into Donato's, how he grew up, how he learned the game. The thing that fascinates me with him is he's a much larger guy than his father, Ted, the Harvard coach who played for the Boston Bruins since right after the 1992 Olympics. into the 98-99 season when he was traded to the Islanders for Ken Bélanger, as Mike O'Connell was getting more influence as assistant GM and making the Bruins into a gigantic hockey team physically. Ted Donato did return to the Bruins and helped them out during that 03-04 season prior to the dark winter. And unfortunately, Donato got hurt. He was playing really well for them and as a depth center on that club. But they skate the same. If you ever notice it, some players skate upright, some players skate really hunched over and more so that their torsos are parallel to the ice. That's how Donato skates. So it was interesting talking about Kim Vranvold, the skating coach of the Bruins, and he also Ryan Donato has a wicked heavy shot. And he loves to practice it. He makes a lot of noise at practice. So the other guy we talked to before he got on to the plane was Jakub Zboril, who is on the China trip with the Bruins. And as they want to get a quick look at him, and I want to say that Juho Vaakanainen is on that trip as well, so that they can get an early look at those guys, because even with McQuaid off to the Rangers, it would seem that starting out that Stephen Kampfer, the former future Bruin, will be the number eight guy and will be the first guy summoned from Providence in the events of injury. He is a right sider, and now that they're the side with only three guys, he would be kind of next up, unless they want to try out John Moore on his offside and put both Torey Krug and Matt Grzelcyk into the lineup. Bruce Cassidy has a tricky situation here, even without Adam McQuaid in the mix anymore. And then if Zboril or Vaakanainen or Jeremy Lauzon knocks training camp out of the park, then we have something even more interesting going on potentially. But you know what? Developing defensemen slowly, patiently is the better word in the American Hockey League is a very smart thing to do. I'll never forget Nick Boynton's disastrous start to his Bruins career. He went back in the draft. I think it was Washington that chose him in the top 10, and he didn't come to terms. He wound up in a Blackhawks camp. Then he went back in the draft. Then he was chosen by the Bruins in the draft that they hosted at the Fleet Center in, I want to say, 99. And then Nick Boynton, the revelation was immediately he found out he had diabetes, and he wound up having, I think it was a shoulder injury. So a real mess of a rookie pro season for him. Then his 2000-2001 season, that in Boston was the Keenan year. Nick Boynton was left in Providence to just play all situations, a lot of minutes, and get his reps up. And then he came into Boston and made the team in 01-02. And on a defense dominated by veteran players, well, Helge was still pretty young, but Boynton became a very big cog in that Bruins team of the early 2000s. So that was such a good case study in how a full season in the American Hockey League can do wonders for a young player, especially a defenseman. And Don Sweeney, having spent time developing in college, understands that angle, having played at Harvard University. He also had a half a season in the American League before the Bruins promoted him to the NHL club during that 88-89 season. So he knows the development of defensemen like few people do, and the cohesion, the chemistry, synergy, whatever you want to call it, he has with Bruce Cassidy and the rest of the coaching staff right now sets the Bruins in a very good place when it comes to developing these guys and making sure that these picks don't go to waste. So let's talk with Jakub Zboril, and my questions will come in toward the end when I discussed his arrival at camp lighter this year than last year, when he attempted to put on weight for the purposes of grinding it out against men. And Ryan Spooner was the only other guy who had come to camp last year looking to be stronger in the corners at the expense of speed. I don't think it hurt Spooner at all. I think it did hurt Zboril this year. He's coming in lighter, and we'll see how it pans out for him. Here's Zboril.
You feel like you're a bit of a veteran of these rookie camps now at this point?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird feeling to be one of the oldest guys on the ice right now, but it's a good thing. It's an experience for me, being one of the older guys to come to base. Being more of the senior guy in the group, because I never really was that guy. I always played with the older guys when they were kind of leading me. So it's a really good experience.
What did you take from just the experience of full season of Providence last year, beginning to end, like things you had success with and things you wanted to work on?
I just learned a lot, like taking care of my body, being better in my nutrition, being better pro, as I said, just being earlier for meetings, being early on the ice, how I act on the ice, not being that guy who just goofs around and just go out there and put in some work and figure out everything.
So Bruce Cass has made it pretty clear that he has 8 NHL-ready defensemen. Do you feel like this is impossible to make the roster?
I don't feel like it's impossible. It's just definitely it's going to be a lot of work, and I think I'm ready to put in that work and go for it.
You see Jake DeBrusk, the guy you drafted with, has a successful year last year. A bunch of guys in your draft last night, first round, last year, made an impact in the NHL. How excited or anxious is that Jake to want to get there too, like the rest of those guys?
Yeah, when I saw Jake DeBrusk playing his first year in Providence, right? His first year of pro, and all of a sudden he just jumped to being an NHL guy, and now I see him going out of the locker room. Being so after Providence, he was like up here. After NHL year, he was much higher than after he had Providence. So it's real nice to see, and I would say I want to accomplish the same thing.
What do you think you need to accomplish that? What do you want to do?
Just show myself better on the ice, being having more grit, being consistent, pushing, and just going for it. Don't show my weaknesses, just eliminate them as best as I can.
I think last year you said you came in about 10 pounds heavier to compete more effectively against men, against big, experienced players. How are you this year relative to that? Are you coming in the same way?
So last year I was told that I don't really need to be the heavy guy because I'm still young, and I don't really need to be battling those big boys on the boards. Like, I don't really need to throw big hits or anything. I just need to be guy in shape and skate around, play with a puck. Yeah, like I need to be strong in front of the nets, but it's one part of the game, but I still need to be more of a skater. So this year I came 12 pounds lighter than last year, and I feel much better.
A trend seems to be in pro game toward defending with technique and stick and positioning more so than being roughhouse. Did you learn a lot last year in Providence as far as developing your game that way?
So when I came from juniors, I thought it would be like, I was so used to juniors just go in a corner, throw a hit, knock off a guy, take the puck and skate away. But I realized when I came to pro, it's not really possible anymore for me. So even though I would throw the hit, but a guy is stronger now, so he would just stand up and skate away. So now I just took that approach to being lighter on the skates and being more positionally right and just play that puck.
Contain.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Camp will be obviously interesting when you mix in those young players with the veterans, and then they start having to compete, albeit not regular season hockey, against these hybrid rosters that you put up during these preseason games, and they'll come quickly for the Boston Bruins. So Rink Wrap is back in business, and I'm Mick Colaggio, and plan on being here with guests all season long. You can find us on Google Play, iTunes, Omni.fm, that's O-M-N-I, WNY, like New York, .fm. We also link to it on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at @MickColaggio. Read Rink Wrap, the blog, at blogs.southcoasttoday.com/Bruins. And get ready for a fun hockey season. And see you soon. Happy hockey, everyone.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.